Right now, it's time to welcome in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk food. And that's a great thing to talk about on a day where it's cold and it's snowy. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. And how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was fine. It's the first year I didn't cook a heritage turkey in many, many years.
Oh, yes, I know you do that.
And I cooked
it. Was it okay?
It came out fine. I
remember we had a heritage turkey last year, and I was disappointed in it. So this year we had a normal turkey.
Yeah, so it came out fine, and it's not as intense a flavor. That's definitely true. No. It's not nearly as intense of a flavor, but the drippings to make gravy and stuff are so intense with the heritage bird that you have to change all the rules, because otherwise it's gamey. But I had a fresh kill bird from Le Bon's. You know, I picked it up the day it was, as they call, processed. And it was fine. It was fine. So,
I wish they would use the word dressed.
Yes, there you go.
Because process makes it sound too commercial.
Yes, absolutely. Well, how about your Thanksgiving?
Anyway, my Thanksgiving was absolutely wonderful. It was a vastly, vastly, vastly more food than 9 adults and 5 children could eat. So everybody got to take home a lot of food. But you know what is with me is that I wasn't in charge of everything by a long shot, and our guests brought dishes, and one of my niece and nephew's friends actually made the mashed potatoes when she arrived. She's an amazing woman. Anyway, I could not eat. It's like that. If I cook all day long, I just want to go out for a piece of pizza. So I didn't eat too much, and then the next day, blah, blah, blah. So it's okay. I've eaten that food before, and I was actually thinking maybe the thing that most appeals to me about Thanksgiving is stuffing, and I don't have to have a turkey to make stuffing. And in fact, yesterday, knowing it was going to be terrible weather, I prepared myself with a lot of food in the house. And among them, some chicken necks, chicken backs, rather, that were super duper cheap. I bought several packages of that and made broth. So today, when I skim it, I'm going to have wonderful chicken soup fat that has risen and solidified on top. And that would be a great thing for me to make more stuffing just for myself. So moving on, we moved on. We came home from my nephew in Philadelphia, and on the way home, we stopped at the Joyce Kilmer rest stop. By the way, does everybody know Joyce Kilmer was actually a man?
Yes.
Even though Joyce is a female name these days.
Because if you stop
back in the 19th century, it was often a man's name.
Yeah, if you stop it and you look, they have an explanation who Joyce is.
Well, I didn't have to look. I've been stopping at that rest stop my whole life, so I know who Joyce is. I shall never see a tree, blah, blah. Anyway, at Joyce Kilmer, there was a stand, as you walked in, selling, quote, gourmet popcorn. I'm always suspicious of anything called gourmet, but they had free samples and a lot of different flavors that I'd never noticed, and it all was going to a good cause, which is that this popcorn, the actual popcorn, and the packaging, everything about it, is done by people with autism and other disabilities. And even though this popcorn was pretty expensive, I thought, well, it was $6.99 for a 7-ounce bag, so that's pretty expensive. I thought, well, it's going to a very good cause, so I'll buy a bag. Boy, am I sorry I didn't buy a half a dozen bags, because this is the best popcorn I've ever had, and I don't like popcorn that much. I do like caramel popcorn, and that's what I bought, even though there were a whole slew of flavors, including butter, which is, for me, another one that I would like. And it's with real butter. They instruct you, by the way, to use this popcorn up as soon as you... Well, within a reasonable time after you open the bag. I cut off the part of the bag that said how long it stays. But it was interesting. 80% of people, of adults with autism, are unemployed. So this employs people. So I got, and now that I'm hooked on this, I mean, both Bob and I opened our eyes wide when we started eating this popcorn. And I must say, I would keep the bag closed until the moment you can't resist anymore, because it's irresistible once it's opened. Very large pieces of popcorn, very delicious, slightly salted caramel. In my helping of this popcorn, I only had one unpopped kernel, which I thought was great because my teeth are not up to an unpopped kernel, and there's actually a warning on the bag about unpopped kernels. So I would unquestionably buy this stuff, and I went online, and sure enough, you can get it on, buy it online, and the website is called popcornforthepeople.com. Popcornforthepeople.com. And it employs adults with autism. So I'm going to order some of this. You can get it in a big can, red, silver, which just looks like a can, and gold, which just looks sort of yellow, at least on the internet picture. I like the red can. You can buy these big cans, and in each can you can have three different flavors. So I'm going to order one for the family, so to speak. Well, I'll bring it down to Philly. The kids will go wild over this. I'm going to get butter, chocolate. It's dark chocolate / espresso. Now, I tasted this, and it doesn't really have a lot of coffee flavor, but if I, I only had a little sample thing at the Joyce Kilmer rest stop. And then butter. So at $31, I have to check out the shipping. I think it's even a great Christmas gift. So again, it's called Popcorn for the People.
Did it have many husks in it? That's the thing.
Very large, perfectly popped popcorn, coated, in my case, because we bought the caramel, and I'm now very familiar with it because we did eat the whole bag. We finished the whole bag already in two sittings, which was way too much, of course. But, you know, we're bingers. We had a really healthy, even could say, diet dinner, and then we binged caramel-covered popcorn. It was addictive. And my mother used to, that was my mother's favorite snack food, I guess you'd have to call it. But the product she bought then, which is still around, I've seen it, is Poppycock. Have you ever had Poppycock?
Years ago, my grandmother used to like that.
But there you go. So, but it's still around. And Poppycock is full of nuts. This is just pure popcorn. Moving on. So I bought all these chicken necks, and yesterday the weather here was pretty miserable. I don't know, what time did it start snowing by you?
Started snowing in the afternoon, yeah. In the afternoon it started snowing up here.
Yeah, well, we had serious sleet over here. I mean, it was like ice hitting up against the windows starting at about 1 o'clock, which, you know, the good stations predicted. Fox did not predict this, by the way. They had it all wrong. Speaking of fake news. So I only, because I was checking around to see what everybody was saying about the weather. So I prepared myself with all these chicken backs, which, as I said, were cheap. And now I have this nice broth. And I'm noticing that because I do use a lot of broth these days, I like just having the broth. I mean, we're going to have some broth today for lunch with just chicken noodle soup. Can't be, you know, it's full of protein, by the way. Because my broth, I let cook for hours and hours, and especially with chicken backs, which is mostly bone, although there's quite a bit of meat clinging to these, it's going to produce a very gelatinous broth that you could do many things with, but it's precious broth. It's not like out-of-the-box broth. So I'm noticing these box broths, even when they're on special sale, can be like $4 a quart. I don't know. What do you pay for the broth up?
I don't. I stopped buying broth a long time ago. I just buy a chicken and make my own broth.
Well, I know. So that it's expensive to make your own broth too. I'm not saying it's not. So I had and these were just chicken backs. I had 5 pounds of chicken backs, so that was $5, and a couple carrots, couple sticks of celery. I happened to have a leek in the fridge, so I used that up in there. Anyway, the whole thing, probably, let's say it was $6. So it only produced 2.5 quarts, but it must say 2.5 quarts of really good broth. And then, as I said early in the show, I'm going to skim off the fat and use that for something else. Not sure what. Last time I made broth, I used the fat to make kasha varnishkas. Do you like kasha varnishkas? Is that something you? I grew up eating this. So
yeah, I can't make it, but I like it. Yes.
Oh, it's nothing to do. It really isn't. You fry up a lot of onions and you toss them with the kasha, which you follow the directions on the package, and then you boil up bow tie noodles and you mix it all together. There's really nothing to, except that the onions need long tending to get them nice and, to use the current word, caramelized. So the other thing is, in this kind of weather, I sometimes find myself stuck in the house with no green vegetable. So I have lately learned to use celery as a green vegetable because, well, it's green for one thing. It doesn't have a whole lot of nutrition, but it does have good fiber, and it can be very delicious if you cook it as a vegetable. And I don't mean boil it. I braise it by tossing it with in a skillet with either olive oil or butter, depending on my mood. And when just 2 or 3 minutes, tossing it around in a hot skillet, and then add just a little bit of broth. Now, in this case, use your good broth because it's going to end up being a major flavor in this. But if all you have is canned broth or box broth, it's okay too. And it could be either beef broth or chicken broth. Don't use water in this case. Well, I guess you could. And then you're mainly going to taste celery in the fat that you use. But I want that third note. So you put in about, let's say, 1/4 inch, 1/2 inch of water. Oh, by the way, I cut my celery into 2 to 3 inch lengths on a sharp diagonal, only because they look so good in the end. And then you toss the celery around. You add your broth, like I say, maybe 1/2 inch, 1/4 inch, and you can always add more, and cover the pan and cook it over reasonably low heat until the celery is tender. It takes at least 10 or 15 minutes. Check the pan, and if you haven't added enough liquid, you can always add, as I say, a little bit more broth. Or if your broth is too precious, after you've added an initial broth, then you just add water by the spoonful until your celery is tender. And that really, and salt and pepper, is really a delicious vegetable, especially if you're having something, you know, like just grilled meat, whatever, sausage. Anyway, so the other celery thing, and I may make this today, does not require any broth. It is a very southern Italian soup, except that if you look at it, it's really French-style leek and potato soup, except in this case, you're adding celery. It is a soup thickened by potato. And I first had this at a very, very fancy restaurant in the hills of Avellino, in a little town called Cerbo Serpico. And it's the home of a very large and important winery in Avellino. Avellino, by the way, is just east of Naples, southeast of Naples. It's another province of Campania, the region, and many wonderful things in Avellino, including Feudi di San Gregorio, which is the winery. Feudi di San Gregorio is not only a very important winery for its wine, but also for its architecture, which was by a female Japanese architect who put it into the mountainside so that it looks like it's part of the mountainside. In fact, the roof over the actual cellars where they age in oak barrels and vats enormous quantities of wine. It's a very large winery. The roofs are gardens with herbs, vegetables, blah, blah, fruit trees even. And there is a very, very fine and refined restaurant in the winery. I don't know what the name of it is right now. It has changed. And at this winery restaurant, where they serve only food from, the expression in Italian is zero chilometri, 0 kilometers, meaning within a kilometer of the actual place of service, the restaurant, whatever it is. You know, it's by the way, an exaggeration, because I've been to zero kilometri places where, in fact, the whatever product is from 100 miles away, but still nearby enough. In any case, this soup, this celery and potato soup, was served with a very refined garnish, which was a miniature sfogliatelle. Sfogliatelle are those breakfast pastries, those crescent-shaped or shell-shaped, they're not crescent, they're shell-shaped pastries with the very crunchy, crispy pastry. In fact, there's another kind that isn't crunchy and crispy. But in this case, instead of it being filled with the sweet ricotta-based breakfast filling, it was filled with minced pork. I don't know how it was seasoned. I don't remember even. But it was something delicious and crisp. So as a garnish on top of this very creamy, smooth celery potato soup. Now, you know, celery has a lot of fibers. So, in fact, if you want it to be as smooth as a refined restaurant would have it, you'd have to put it through a strainer. I'm not sure I want to do that anymore. I have done it. I did that. And also, I'm not making pork-filled sfogliatelle, so I have made this soup a number of times. It's a book. It's a soup, by the way, that was cut out from my book, The Southern Italian Table. It does not appear in the book, but it does appear still in my computer and sometimes on my table. And if you have leeks are the lily of choice. But if you don't have leeks, especially if you're stuck in the house today, onions will do. We almost all have onions. So you want about 2 cups of coarsely chopped leek or onion. And by the way, the leek should be white part. You can use a little of the light green, but be careful. The dark green gets pretty tough. Certainly if you want a smooth soup in the end, I would leave out the darker green. And saute that in about 3 tablespoons of oil. Remember, this is southern Italy, so they use extra virgin olive oil a lot, way more than butter. And saute them for at least 3 or 4 minutes until they start to get tender. And then you're going to add, put a little salt. By the way, on the note of salt when you're cooking onions, a lot of chefs on TV, I notice, are recommending that you salt your onions when you put them in the pan to saute them. To wilt them, to caramelize them, and I find doing that toughens the onions. They say it draws out the liquid, which it does, which is why it probably toughens the onions. I don't like doing it anymore. I've done this for a while, and I realize now I prefer no salt until the vegetable is at least a little tender. So in this case, you're going to need a lot of salt, by the way, because it's potatoes, and whatever. They need a lot of salt. So once you have wilted onion or leek, add a whole bunch of celery, including the leaves, washed, of course, and then coarsely chopped. You don't have to mince it or anything because you're going to puree this whole thing in the end. That's going to be about 8 cups of celery. Now, this, to me, is a great way of using up a bunch of celery because you only needed 2 ribs the day before to make whatever you were making. because it's always a, we use it as a seasoning and rarely as a vegetable. So after you've added the celery, keep tossing this over medium heat, the onion and the celery together now. And now you can add your potato, which for me is a pound of russet potatoes, peeled, yes, please peel them. Russets have horrible skins for boiling. And cubed, it should have about 3 cups. And add that to the pot with the onion and leek. And then water, you're going to need at least 4 cups of water, but start out with 4 cups of water. That's a quart of water. And now you can add your salt and pepper. And I would add as much as a half a teaspoon of pepper. Bring it to a boil over high heat, and then adjust the heat so that the water simmers briskly, but not ferociously, uncovered for about a half an hour. The vegetables should be very, very tender. Now just leave it in the pot and let it cool. Now, to make a puree, you can use your blender. You can use your food processor. And you can use them to make it as smooth as you want to smooth it, make it. But if you really want it silky smooth, then you're getting yourself up to some work here. You have to actually pass this through a strainer. And it doesn't pass through all that easily. So for me, it's fine to be more rustic, so to speak, and have a nice, smooth puree from the food processor or the blender. You know, I say blender. I notice that most people have these super blenders these days, but I've always done this in my good old blender. And when I say old, it's from the 1960s, and it still works better than any other blender I've ever had. So that's it. And it's a great soup for a cold day like today. It'll keep in the fridge for a couple of days. And you don't have to make sfogliatelle to garnish it with. Croutons will do. Something crisp on top to contrast with the smooth soup. I have made it with, if you can get a piece of prosciutto in one piece. Sometimes my butcher anyway, will have prosciutto ends that they sell super cheap. And those are perfect for this, because it's a very intense flavor, and you just finely dice the prosciutto and garnish each bowl with that. I don't think you need anything green on top, but if you feel you have to have something green, I would just go with parsley. I wouldn't go anything beyond that.
You know, it's
you want the really delicate flavor of celery to shine through.
It's funny because I started cooking with celery I make a kohlrabi soup that has celery and onions and mushrooms and a chicken-based broth, and it's unbelievable.
Ooh.
And you're looking at somebody who doesn't like things that are green, but it's amazing how good. I even like when I make my chicken soup, I like to take the leafy part of the celery and chop it up really fine and put that in my chicken soup.
Well, a plain vegetable soup very much appeals to me, and I have and do just dice up vegetables, carrots and celery. You don't need onion here. The carrots and celery, and just simmer them in an already prepared good broth. It's delicious, and then you could, you know, there's your chicken rice soup if you want it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the chicken in it though. Anyway, kohlrabi. I was looking for kohlrabi the other day, and I couldn't find it either in a normal, your everyday supermarket or my special supermarket. Maybe nobody's eating kohlrabi, so it's hard to find.
Well, I get it. Le Bon's has a lot of it, and I love it.
Well, you're in a kohlrabi neighborhood.
I love it. It's so great, and when you would. To throw in and to make a hearty meal out of a...
I happen to love kohlrabi. And I also like another weirdo, I shouldn't say weirdo, but another vegetable you don't see much of today, which is rutabaga.
Yeah.
Now, I can get turnips, but I haven't seen a rutabaga in I don't know how long. And also, I was in the market for a celery knob, and I couldn't find that. I don't know what's going on around here. It's my neighborhood. I think we have as the neighborhood has gotten more affluent, we have fewer people who actually cook. So we have a lot of prepared foods in this supermarket. And even in my normal supermarket, there are a lot of prepared foods. Although I just changed supermarkets the other day. I'm now going to a different place regularly than I used to go to regularly, because the regularly place there has been no shopping experience where I haven't been charged more than what the sign said. Like the computer system does not agree with the signage. That's what it comes down to. Gets on my nerves.
Nice.
Well, the other day I picked up something I never would have except for the price, which was bagged collard greens. I happen to be in a collard green mode lately, speaking of green things. And it was 99 cents for this, picked over already collard greens, and the leaves looked just fine. And I get to the register and it was $3.99. But the label clearly said 99 cents. I was not gonna buy collard greens for $3.99 a bag. I did buy collard greens, but I bought them and cleaned them up myself.
All right.
And by the way, the next day I met a woman in the aisle, not the next day, but several days later, maybe a week later, I met a woman in the aisles who I've talked to at the supermarket before, and she, let's say a mature black woman, and I know she's a great cook by the way she talked about her cooking, and she said, "Oh, I would never buy bagged collard greens." What were you thinking? I said, "I was thinking they're only 99 cents.
That's right. All right.
All righty. So everybody have a... the weather's going to clear up on Wednesday, I hear.
Yes.
So everything will melt away, we hope.
Make it till Wednesday. That's it.
Let's get to Wednesday.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Have a great week.
Take care. Hello, it's Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on The Breakfast Club on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. Now on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheese Markers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-225-7000, hgshomechef.com.